Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Okay, now let's declare God's word together as we begin to study. One, two, let us go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Once again, I declare that will be your portion this evening in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word will enter your heart. It will give you light and direction.
Amen.
It will heal in every area.
Amen.
And it will make you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
Awesome.
Please, before you sit down, can you just turn around, greet five people? And please don't tell me you saw one man that's five people in one. Prophesy to the person. Tell the person you are welcome to the presence of the word of God. You are welcome to the company of the saints of God, where the anointing is flowing. Anointing for understanding, anointing for insight, anointing for breakthrough, anointing for healing. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right. I know you believe it, so give me another amen.
Amen.
All right. Welcome once again to the laws of fruitfulness, which we have been looking at for the past 2 days. All right, the book of Genesis chapter 8. That's where we'll start reading from today. Now, this was after Noah came out from the ark, so we all know the story, so we'll not go over it again. From verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took off every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. He said, the Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I will never curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never destroy every living thing as I have done. Now this is what's going to happen. Verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. As long as the earth remains, these things, he said, will not cease. Now, please open your Bibles again. Also to the book of... which one should we read next? Okay, back to Luke chapter 19. Now, we're not going to spend much time there because we read it the other time. He said in verse 11, while they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem. And verse 12, and he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with these until I come back. Now, let me just jump again. Verse 15, when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him, so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in the time of seed, all right? You have been faithful in the very little thing. I just added that time of seed, okay, to bring out a point. You are to be in the time of harvest in authority over 10 cities. I added that one again. The second came saying, your mina, master, has made 5 minas. And he said to him also, and you are to be over 5 cities. That is, because you have been faithful in a little thing, now in the time of harvest, you will be over 5 cities. And in verse 20, another came saying, master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. I did not steal it. I did not give it away. I protected it very well. I did not lie, I did not cheat with it. But it's intact. For I was afraid of you because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. So he said to him, by your own words I will judge you, you worthless sleeve. Let me just stop here. Or I don't want to spend more time reading that. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, what I want to do, first of all, is just bring us up to speed concerning where we are. We've been talking about this for some time. This is our third day in this series. And the first day, our emphasis was on the thing of primary importance. Let me just say something again. We are believers. Somebody say amen. We are believers. I want to hear another amen.
Amen.
That means that we believe something. We are not natural people. We are born of the Spirit of God. We believe something. There is something about our lives that's different from that of the average person. One of those things about our lives we should bear in mind is that we operate spiritual things. Life for us, we didn't arise by accident. Everything we see, the Bible says, by faith we understand. We don't understand by experience. We don't understand by the fact that we went to secondary school or university. Our understanding comes by faith. Faith is what gives us understanding. I hope you're getting my point here. By faith, we understand that what will happen in our lives will not be as a result of the physical things that were done. We understand by faith that these things are determined by spiritual principles. By faith, we know that we are people of faith. Are you getting my point? The problem, I've been saying it in recent times, the problem is that Christians don't apply themselves enough to this faith principle. They only try to use faith when it comes to, let me grab something from God. Faith does not only give you something, it gives you understanding. It helps you to relate with life. Faith helps you to know what is important and what is not important. Faith helps you to know what is real and what is false. Faith helps you to know where to put in your effort and where not to put in your effort. Faith, you know, is the reason by which we know what is genuine, what is real. What I mean is this. If a man, a woman is getting results in life, faith tells us we should know that these things are from God. We studied yesterday that when we were talking, was it yesterday? Now, you know, we've been speaking so many, I don't know which when I said what now, all right? Anyway, I think it was yesterday or this morning. We explained it, okay, yesterday. We talked extensively that it's a matter of gift. That is, anything we receive from God. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Not by my learning, not by my effort, but by the grace of God. If you see me walking, it's not me that's walking. It's the grace of God that's walking with me. Faith means we must understand that. I said something, this is how you know a proud person. How did he get this result? He starts giving you the steps and the methods and the connections and the degrees and everything. You know that fellow doesn't know anything. People who have faith, the first thing they say is what? I thank God. That's the first thing that comes out of their mouth. Anything happens, they tell you, I thank God. Why? They know that this thing is a gift of God. John said that a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. If you find somebody with something, God allowed the person to have it. God decreed the person to have it. God gave it to the person. That's just the way it works. It's not as if the person knows how to get it. A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. God is the judge. He's the one that brings down one and lifts up another. It's not somebody's effort that lifts him or her up. It is God that is judge. These are things we must bear in mind. We are not getting results in life because we know how. It's not about knowing how. One of the things that plagued Christianity in modern times is this issue of principles and keys that people use. Is as if you want this, you do this. People, in fact, God became a massive mainframe computer that you just go there, punch in some things. He doesn't have to think. There are certain keys that we know. We just punch it in and it will just spit out the result. He doesn't have to think by himself. We already know the principles. No, that is not what it is. Faith means that God is judge. He has ideas, he has opinions, he has plans, he has purposes. If you want to be blessed by him, you align yourself with his plans, with his purposes. That's what I'm teaching. Are you getting my point here? So for Christians to be spiritually minded again, Christians must be spiritually minded. They must be spiritually minded. I give this example all the time. That is, it's one of my best examples now. Okay? You are saying, okay, how do I prepare for the future of my children? Because, you know, that's when your faith is tested. Because when God wanted to judge Moses, he asked him, did you circumcise your son? And when he did not, God went after him. Are you getting my point here? You want to know what is the preparation for the future of your children? How are you making it? Faith tells you their future is in God's hand, is not in the passport they carry. Are you getting my point here? It's not in the passport they carry. Their future is in the hand of God. So when you want to plan for their future, you sit with God and discuss with him.
You make petitions. You ask for mercy. If you see one thing that Job used to do those days, every day he will be making petitions and prayers for his children. Are you getting my point here? God said concerning Abraham, there are things I want to do in your life. They will be fulfilled in the lives of your children. So what do we do? He said, teach them righteousness and justice. Isaac, he said concerning Jacob, who he thought was Esau, he said, I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. These were things done by the power of the blessing. We are spiritual people. We understand this. So when we're talking about fruitfulness, we know that we are using spiritual principles. We are not using earthly principles. We believers, we go for the spiritual things. The problem that we have had as a church is that, like Jesus said, we have not applied the kind of diligence that worldly people have applied in pursuing the things that they know. A worldly man wants to put up an investment for his third generation. Look at how he goes after it. He strategizes, he plots, but Christians don't do enough of that. They'll do a little bit of Christianity and a little bit of worldliness and mix the two, trying to be sure that they don't miss out anyway. And the Bible calls it mixing light and darkness. I taught the first day that one thing you must do is to deliberately separate light and darkness in your life. Know what is light, follow it. If you discover the one that is darkness, reject it, uproot it. Because those things that are sown in the heart, what happens is that the time for light to bear results, they kill the light that the result that light was supposed to bear. Why? Darkness was sown therein. Those were the things that grew up and choked the word, and the word did not bear fruit in the lives of those people. It's the other things that are planted. We believers will bear these things in mind. That's what we've been talking about. Please, so it's so crucial, I explain it. Now, I just said this before, I wanted to remind us of the thing we said the first day. So we understand as believers, the thing that's of utmost importance is what God did for us in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I deliver to you as of primary importance, as of first importance, that Jesus died for our sins. As of primary importance, he was buried. As of primary importance, on the third day, he was raised up. The knowledge of these things is of primary importance. If we don't know this, we are joking. Please, I can't say these things enough. Because Christians will go to church these days and we are learning principles, we forget that Christ is all. I hope you're getting my point here. Yes, please let me recommend our set of messages again. So one single DVD, all right? How many messages? About 46, in which we talk, 43 of them, in which we talk about Christ. Please, let's go and learn. I want us to listen to those messages and build those things in our heart. I explained a particular principle that, listen, it is what is inside your heart that's affecting the way things outside respond to you. Please bear it in mind. It's not the labor you go out to labor. It is what is built up inside your heart. You can go out to labor morning till night, but your spirit is repelling good. I hope you're getting my point here. You can go out labor morning, afternoon, and night, but your spirit is repelling good. So what's the first thing you do as a believer? You make sure that your spirit is attracting good towards you. How do you do it? I said before, it's a matter of knowledge. You know what is important. You know what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. We've been talking about that. And don't forget the last thing we said yesterday, and that's the fact that everything we are looking for in life is what? A gift. It is a gift. It is a gift. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, if we understand that, therefore, it means that what we'll be looking for in life is how to be pleasing to God and how to receive things from his hands, not how to get things by our own labor. Now, today I'm going on, so of course, what we call those, the one we've discussed so far, is the law of what? Faith and grace. First time we'll talk about faith. Second time we'll emphasize about grace. Now, let's go on. Today I want to talk about the law of seed and harvest. That's what I'm talking about today. The law of seed and harvest. We're talking about the laws of fruitfulness. Today we took from Genesis chapter 8. And it said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. And of course we know this. As a matter of fact, most of us, it's been preached very much about this matter of seed and harvest. The problem, however, this is where the problem is. What is the seed? That's where Christians often miss the matter. This principle is correct, but the seed is where they miss it. Christians say that money answers all things, so they want to sow the seed of money for everything. Except that scripture, when Solomon was speaking, was taken out of context. He was saying that whether it is food or it is drink, it's money we use to buy everything. That's what he meant when he said money answers all things. It doesn't mean that money buys long life and prosperity. It did not mean that money buys the pleasure of God. Let's get it clear. Always read your Bible in context and get the principle that's been, explained there. When he said money answers all things, it was talking in a particular context.
Now, so when we're talking about the seed, that's where Christians miss it. What is the seed for the fruit that we are looking for? We're talking about the laws of fruitfulness. What I want to explain today is that law of seed and harvest. Now, what I actually want to explain there, again, is in the line of what we talked about grace yesterday. And that's for people to understand that this is how God did it. In the time of seed, you have control. In the time of harvest, you have no control. Let me see what I'm trying to say here. You can choose to sow corn or choose to sow sorghum. Just feel like saying sorghum because most people don't think about things like that often. You can choose, all right, to make rice your seed. Or you choose there is mango you want to sow. But whatever you sow, that you shall also reap. Are you getting my point? The time of harvest, it is what you sow that you reap. Now, there's something I've been saying again and again, especially when I'm talking about money as a seed. And I explain to people that you must understand that these are spiritual laws that we are using here. So the application, you have to be careful when you're applying it. What I mean is that I've used corn, of course. I've used the rice. I've used mango, fruits, stuff like that as an example. That presupposes that everything you are planting is in the earth. You cannot plant corn into the realm of the spirit. Say, Lord, I hereby give you corn. You will multiply it. God says, no, that's not the way it works. When they are giving to me, I look at the motive in your heart. I look at what you're trying to do. If you're offering mercy, you receive mercy. The offering of mercy can come as corn, fine. But when I want to return mercy to you, it can come as shelter. Are you getting my point? So it is not as if when you sow corn, you must reap corn. That's when you're talking about the earth, the ground. But when you're talking about spiritual things, God looks at the thing behind the physical seed. And that is what enters into the realm of the spirit. Let's bear that in mind. Now, why am I explaining that is this. In life, everything is a gift of God we have established. What we are looking for in life is a gift of God. The progress you are looking for is a gift of God. Does it mean, therefore, that you totally do not have any control? The answer is no. And what I'm explaining today is that God allows you to sow the right seeds. But what is the right seed? That's where the problem often is. Because you see, this is how it works. For example, if you see, assuming that you drop from Mars, you've never been to the earth, you just showed up on Mars, on the earth one day, and I want to plant, and you see somebody, maybe he's eating a mango, and you like mangoes. So I tell you, don't worry, we're going to have mango in a few years. Maybe we'll move to a new land. Let's plant our own. You will expect me to bring what that man was eating. But you'll be surprised when I arrive, I come with the seed. Are you getting my point? And you notice something, for most plants, the seed and the fruit, they don't look alike. Think about it. They don't look alike. For most plants, the seed and the fruit, they don't look alike. However, the fruit contains the seed. You get what I'm trying to say here? So if I pick that mango ripe, if I peel the back, peel the yellow part of it, and then eventually I get to the seed part, which is in the center, that's what I can plant. But what I want to just emphasize there is that for the uninformed person observing from outside, the man from Mars, like we're saying, if you were planting and he saw you planting the mango seed, you know, when he was talking to you, the one that man was eating that day, it was big, much bigger than this. Especially if you eat that one they call Peter mango. You know the Peter mango? The back is, the whole mango is massive. The seed is small. Or let's even leave that one. Oranges. Yes. See, the one that man was in there was big like this, yellow. This one you're planting is tiny and white. Tell the man, don't worry. That was the fruit. This is the seed. They don't immediately look alike. Now, in spiritual things also, is like that. Now, I want you to bear that in mind. The thing that we plant doesn't look like the thing we are going to harvest. Why would I look chapter 19 again is this? You know, I tried this as an illustration. The master went out and gave them money and said, plant this money. Now, please, I'm modifying it now. Okay, he said, do business with this until I come. Now, that money was used to do business and the person multiplied the money. But the whole procedure of multiplying the money was the seed. What was the harvest? A position of authority. Now, money and the position of authority didn't look alike. But the master was doing something. The fruit that will come out of your life is a position of authority I will put you in. But how do I prepare you for that position of authority? I give you money to trade with. Do you get that point? It's the money I give you to trade with that prepares you for that position. However, like I gave an illustration yesterday, A man who doesn't understand this, someone who doesn't understand it, when they say prepare for the position of authority, he will go and study political science. Are you following that? He will study what? Public administration. He will go to KURU, Nigeria Institute for Policy and Strategic Studies, if they allow him in. He will go there. Why? We are getting ready for the position of authority. Because that looks like a seed. That seed looks like, to him, that's the harvest he's expecting. But he forgets that the seed does not always look like the harvest. So the master says to him, what he should have done was to go to Ogbete Market. Look for a man who will take you under his wings and show you how to multiply the 10,000 naira I gave you. I hope you get my point here. The man would have been looking for scholarship to go and study public administration somewhere. But the master said, oh, this boy doesn't get it. He should have taken this money, gone to a businessman and said, please, sir, can you coach me on how to handle money? Why? Because my master is coming and he's going to decide where I will be in life based on how I handle this money. But of course, God doesn't tell us these things ahead of time. He just says, do business until I come. Because he doesn't want fake character. He wants the genuine character, not the one you put up because of the result you are looking for. Are you getting my point here? That is why, listen, what God counts in our lives, we never know when he's checking it. Look, please, you know, I always get back to this matter. Anytime I get to this area. That is why the time you are giving deliberately is not the time that God is counting the reward that money will bring. No, it can't be. It breaks every spiritual law if it's like that. I always get to this point. It must be my ministry. I always get to this point to correct people. So by the time you say, I am giving this money so that God will multiply, God says, you missed it. That's not the time I'm counting. The time I'm counting, you did not even know you were doing anything. He said, when did we see you and we helped you? When were you hungry and we fed you? The people he wanted to reward, they did not know when he did the work. They were asking him. The ones he wanted to punish, the same thing. Because those ones, they were regular. Anytime the Lord came out, they gave the Lord something. Every time they were preparing, church time, they prepared very well. They worshiped the Lord very well. When the pastor says, oh, everybody, raise your hands, let us worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God that is enthroned in majesty, who sits in light unapproachable, rise up this morning and worship him. Hallelujah. Then when they get home, this cup I just bought, you people broke it. God punished the person today. Oh. Worship finished where? In church. Because look at this one. The time I wanted to come to worship, the boy was not ready. No, listen, that's how God is. When they say, you will sow a seed now, I say, this seed, you go to my future and prepare ground for me. I say, this is where you sow, not fit travel. This one cannot travel. It can't travel. It can't move. The one that really moves, the time I'm counting them, you're not aware. I want those things that come out of your heart spontaneously. You are driving on the road. Somebody gives your car a bashing from behind. Bam! And you bow your head and say, Father, I thank you. My life is in your hands. That is worship. That one has more weight than 1 hour service in church in which you were weeping and rolling. Not kidding about that. After all, the one in church, they needed choir. They got a professional bass guitarist to plug the guitar to provoke worship out of you. God knows now. They had to pay, what is his name? Frank Edwards. It was when Frank Edwards came that you began to worship. We don't know whether it is Frank Edwards you are singing to or the Lord. We don't know. When God wants to know whether this worship has entered, you get home, you paid your NEPA bill, everything. You know, and they say, for once, we are going to sleep properly in this house this night. You now hear that one truck jam your transformer. Oh, I forgot to mention, your street contributed money to buy that one. And somebody said, have you told anybody? I said, yes. They said, this is serious damage. It's going to be done by the higher level engineers. And they've gone to Abuja for a conference. How long is the conference? 1 week. That's when you know who's worshiping. The real worshipers will say, in everything, I give thanks. Lord, I thank you. I worship you. Whether there's power or there's no power, you remain God. You are King. And just lie and say, Lord, Because of you, I will lie down and sleep. You are the only one that makes me dwell in safety. That is worship. That one doesn't require Frank Edwards. Does not require a guitarist. Nobody's rolling the drum to the left and the right. Nobody's making you pulsate to the beat. You saw a difficult circumstance and you give thanks in it. That is real worship. The people that did the opposite of worship to God, they grumbled because there was no water. They didn't wake up in the morning to start grumbling. Say, today's grumbling time. Who won't grumble? Let's grumble there. God won't grumble to you. No. Something provoked the grumbling. Are you getting my point here? Yeah, no, look, something provoked the grumbling. Don't look. You know, why I need to emphasize that many of us are worse than those guys, but because we are reading their stories, we think we are better. Something provoked their grumbling too. They also looked for work for 2 years and they didn't find. That was when they began to grumble. They say, okay, deliverance. You think every Israelite was poor? Many of those people that they delivered from Egypt had money in Egypt too. If you know the way life is, they say, we are all slaves, 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 slaves. Forget that thing. There are people that even in the midst of slavery, they are thriving. Now bring them to the wilderness to be eating manna. That was what provoked grumbling. I need to emphasize that so that you won't grumble too. Because anytime, you know, I because of my work and my history of my life and all of that, I mean, a number of chat groups of colleagues, classmates, professionals, and I see professional grumblers. People who are professional grumblers. I told you before, and it's a matter of fact, if you are traveling from here to Nature and the road is bad, God doesn't want to hear from your mouth. It causes grumbling. He wants you to thank God that there is a road. And you are not avoiding bombs. Go to Syria. You know the difference. Now the rebels are begging. Okay, we need ceasefire so that civilians can go out. Rebels have been saying that we will die. Allah Akbar, they will die. They are the ones now begging. And they have roads though. Those who are not complaining about bad road, they are complaining about whether there is a bomb or there is no bomb. It's ceasefire that's their issue. There is always cause to give thanks. I hope you're getting my point here. So you're driving from here to Niger, the road is bad. God says, I don't want to hear from your mouth. You're going to Makurdi to go and preach. And truck fell on your road. You will stop there and start preaching inside the car. Father, we thank you. Even this truck is under your power. That is true worship. Now, why did I go into that? For us to understand that when God is counting, many times people are trying to sow seeds. They are trying to sow seeds. They don't know the real seed that God is counting. So they put their labor in what does not matter. We're talking the laws of fruitfulness. We're looking at seed, the law of seed and harvest. And what I want to do today is to just point out a few things that are the important seeds that Christians must have in their lives. Let me say this again. As Christians, we don't do things deliberately because we want to get a result. And I keep on saying that. What we are doing is forming a habit of righteousness. What did I call it? Yeah, I like the way you answered, but I want to be a bit louder. That's it. We are forming a habit of doing what is right consistently. Solomon said it like this. We're talking about seed, right? He says, sow your seed in the morning. At night, don't stop sowing your seed. His own reason, he said, I've observed life that you don't know when you will plant the ones that will do well. So he said, what do you do therefore? Make the sowing of seeds a habit. So what we're talking about therefore, there are things that must be made what? Habits. These are the things, listen, the fruit we said before is a gift of God. What that means is that it is not what we do, it is what God does. However, it is not as if we don't have any part of it at all. We don't have any control. He said we have been saved by grace, and that was activated by what? By faith. Now, what I want to say is that who exercised the faith? Was it not you? Was it not me? We exercise the faith. We accepted the gift of God by believing. So it is not as if we were saved by our own power, but grace is always activated by faith. Let's get that clear. Grace is always activated by faith. If you go to Romans chapter 4, when Paul was explaining there, he said it has to be by faith for it to be in accordance with grace. That's the way it works. Now, what are we saying therefore? What the Lord is saying that there is what we put in to activate grace.
That's what I am calling seed. If Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, he may not have said it overtly, but he implied that I had to respond to him by faith for that grace to work in my life. I hope you're getting my point here. Very important. Please follow me closely. Faith, we've explained before, but let me develop it again. Faith is an intangible substance. That is, spiritually it's tangible, but physically you really can't see it. Now, anything that exists that's not tangible like that always has a tangible manifestation. And that tangible manifestation is what the Greek man calls faithfulness. So he uses the same word to describe both faith and faithfulness. So you tell the gift of the Spirit is faith or faithfulness if you read most translations in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 22. All right? Now, what am I trying to say here? If somebody claims to have faith, that faith always has a tangible demonstration. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying here. You can't just say, I'm believing God. That faith that you are believing God with will have a tangible manifestation. And that was what James was explaining. He said that Abraham believed God. All right, fine. He was justified by faith. By faith, all right, he was declared righteous. He said, I know. He said, however, when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac, did he not? When God told him to move from one city to another, did he not move? He said his obedience was manifested. Sorry, his faith was manifested in his obedience. For that reason, if you say Abraham believes, you look, does he really believe? You watch out. Then one day he packs his bag, he leaves all and begins to go somewhere else to a land he does not know. He said, indeed, he believes. Does Abraham believe? Let's watch. One day you see him take Isaac and is going forth to go and sacrifice Isaac. Then you say, indeed, Abraham believes. Does Abraham believe? You say, yes. How do I know? You know, there used to be a boy in this house. His name was Ishmael, the son of Hagar. Where is he now? Both the mother and the boy, they are gone. Why? Because Abraham believes. Are you getting my point here? Faith that does not express itself in actions that you take in different parts of life is not genuine. We've talked about faith that does not save. What is faith that does not save? The faith a man professes, a woman professes, but there are no actions in his or her life to show that, that the thing he's professing is genuine. Now, that outward manifestation of faith is what I'm talking about today. It's called faithfulness. And I'm saying to us today, that is the seed that God says plant for the fruit. Very crucial. I will give a few examples. Let me give an example. Jesus said something. He said, if you are not faithful in that which belongs to another person, what did he say? Who will give you your own? That is one of the seeds or a manifestation of the seed of faith is that the person who claims to believe exercises himself or herself in that which belongs to somebody else. I don't know whether you're getting my point. See, we must understand how these things work. If you claim really to have faith, because you see, remember, by the grace of God, we will get to where we're supposed to get to. But grace is activated how? Let me hear it now. Grace is activated by faith. I'm now explaining that people must be careful not to be deceived, that they have faith when they don't. James said, there is a kind of faith that does not save. Look, it's very important you understand it. In that James chapter 2, when James was speaking, he said, if somebody says he has faith and does not have works, he said, I like New Living Translation there. He said, can that kind of faith save anyone? Oh, read it. No one put it now. That's how New Living Translation says it. He said, can that kind of faith save anybody? And I explained that. That is why they tell you that the church, Nigeria is full of Christians that go to church, but the country is not changed. You know the truth? Most people don't have the kind of faith that can save anybody. They have the kind of faith that James said does not save anyone. Last Sunday I was on radio, and that's what I was discussing. So you wake up from 5 a.m. in the morning, churches are beginning to fill up in Nigeria. By 5 a.m., Catholics are in church. By 7, Pentecostals have joined. By 10, the second round of Pentecostals are in service. Yeah. By 3 o'clock, they are still finishing service.
And then some people, of course, some go to church every day. Churches have, of course, by Friday night, churches are full. We don't have any respect for neighborhood. Noise everywhere. So people say, ah, if it is like that, if this gospel was really true, by now, the country should have been changed. But let me tell you the problem. Most people have the kind of faith that does not save. The kind of faith that doesn't save goes to church and is regular. The kind of faith that does not save, all right, is very diligent. When they say, come out for evangelism, it will go. But where does the kind of faith that saves manifest? You leave church, leave that church environment, and God starts making little demands here and there. You know, people say that there are many Catholics in this world. I say they lie. Most people go to the Catholic church are not Catholics. They don't believe what the Pope is. They think the Pope is on his own. Look, let me not start on that one. They are not. Look, they just think the Pope is on his own. Because 9 times out of 10, the things that the Pope said don't do and the Vatican Council said don't do, they do. Once, this just by the way, I don't want to sit on this, but it is my mouth, so let me say it. All right? When Pope Benedict was taking office that time, it was a big deal because he was a very conservative man. They were happier when this current Pope came in. They said he's more liberal, you know? And the people who are happy are very annoying. They're not even Catholics. Media. People like Piers Morgan. What's in concern? He said that I'm a Catholic. I said, you're not a Catholic. Piers Morgan claims to be a Catholic. I said, stop lying. He believes in homosexuality and same-sex marriage. Is that a Catholic? So all of them were happy. They were very unhappy with the first time. And they said that the Pope should try and legalize the use of condoms. And it was a big deal that the church should just approve. I said, you people are out of your minds. If you listen to the church totally, you don't need condoms. I don't know whether you get my point. It's like telling your son, don't steal, but in case you want to steal, use a knife, don't use a cutlass. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. One man came to testify, it was a comedy. He said, praise God with me. He said, God has touched my life. It was church drama. He said, what happened? Ah, he said, before, when we go for operation, now gone. But now, only knife and cutlass. Praise the Lord. And he was testifying. Now, you see, that's a very good example, the Catholicism thing. For see people who, they don't believe what the one that the Pope is saying doesn't concern them. They claim, however, 5 a.m. mass, guys are there. They will take communion. Everything, they just take this communion. That is, they will do every other thing. Pope said, don't do this, do this one. They said, in fact, this one there, very good to illustrate again. By Catholic law, from the Pope, from the Vatican Council, contraception is forbidden. Let me leave it like that. Go to family planning clinic. All the Catholics are there too. In fact, I don't really, if people were really, if they understood what faith meant, they shouldn't send anybody to take communion on Sunday. Yeah, all of them are not believing anything now. No, really. I mean, I don't know how they manage. In fact, that's why people don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. Because if they believed in God, they won't go near that place. When they say, okay, if you are in state of grace, come. State of grace. Depot Provera is in your hand. State of grace, you are wearing an IUCD. State of grace, okay, who are you deceiving? I saw the women key off like that. State of grace. They are telling lies. People don't believe. Listen, it may sound funny, but this is the problem God has. Most Christians, now, please, let me explain something here. I'm not telling you whether I agree with the Pope or I don't agree with the Pope. I'm not a Catholic. Are you getting my point? But I'm using to illustrate a point. So you see, Catholic churches are full. But most people who go there don't believe. And I've just proven it to you. And you know what I'm saying is true. And it's the same thing with Pentecostals too. So is the truth. It's the same. All of them the same. In fact, these days, there are churches that are built on disobedience to Christ. Today, all your enemies will die. None of them believes. Because Jesus said, pray for your enemies. There are churches that the whole congregation is built on, let's disobey Christ Jesus. Yeah? So they gather for prayer.
Your uncle does not want you to succeed. Tell him today, you will die by fire. Anybody prays like that does not believe anything. Because the Jesus you claim to believe warned you against such prayers. You are a glorified African juju worshiper. You are not a Christian. I'm talking about faith and faithfulness. Most people profess a faith that does not save. That's what I'm emphasizing. If we say we are sowing seeds for fruitfulness, let me sit on that. It has practical implications. I said the outward manifestation of faith is called faithfulness. What does that mean? Jesus said, if you are not faithful in that which belongs to somebody else, who will give you your own? That is, no matter how much you are praying, God give, you know, we say it's a gift, right? We ask God for it. God releases it to us. No matter how much you are praying for that grace, if you have somebody else's thing under your control, God says, that is the seed I'm checking as a sign of your faith. That is, if you are walking somewhere, it is forbidden that you are plotting to undercut the place you are walking to so as to set up your own business. If you do that, you are setting yourself up for failure later in life. Later on, you will say it is your mother-in-law that does not want... No, not your mother-in-law now. It's your auntie in the village who is not happy because her own children are not doing as well. But it's a lie. Then you go and join confused people asking all your family members to somersault and scatter. When the fact is that you sowed the seed when you were in charge of that which belonged to somebody else. I hope you are getting my point. That is, the young man who's an apprentice, what's the correct English? Apprentice, right? Working in a fertilizer shop. If he sits down every day and says that this is not where my mates are, they say, come and pump this tire. My mates are not pumping tires. Change this tire. My mates are driving the cars. God said, you'll be there for a very long time. In fact, this is the highest place you'll ever be. When I move you from here, you'll go somewhere lower where they will not even let you touch the tire. That is the seed for the greatness in that young man's life is that I must be the best tire pumper, tire gauger, tire changer there is. If you are not faithful in that which belongs to another person, nobody will give you your own. We're talking earlier today during the business meeting here. I know, let me tell you something there. If anybody comes to you and says, give me money to do business, ask him, which one have you done before? And I tell you, one of the advantages of working for somebody is that you can use where you worked as leverage. That is, which one have you done before? Go and ask my ogre. I was the one that was in charge of procurement and sales. I was the one in charge of this and this and that and that. But like, you know, we're saying earlier today, we said, you have an idea. Everybody has an idea. And you think your idea is good. The other guy too thinks his idea is good. That's why rich men just don't hand out money anyhow. Because they know everybody can dream of something. But the proof that you can actually execute, where have you ever executed it for somebody else? That's the proof. What am I trying to explain here? I'm talking about the seeds. The things that are the real seeds. Unfortunately, Christians often are taught that just go to church and give an offering. The man doesn't go to work regularly. He gives to church. He gives an offering in church, believing that when I sow this financial seed, it will turn out to break through later in life. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Some of the seeds, like I'm talking about here, we are looking at it. That issue of, am I faithful in that which belongs to another person? I'm talking about the law of seed and harvest. As part of it, this one is striding both of them. I'm talking about the law of faithfulness. Remember, another thing I should quickly point out, that portion we read in Luke chapter 19, those servants in that Luke chapter 19, they thought they were working for their master. Now what I mean is this. The man didn't dash them money. Please, I hope you are getting my point. No, go and look, read it again. He didn't dash them money. What did he say? Do business with this until I come. And when he came back, he said, come and give account. And what did they say? Your mina. Your own. Not the one you gave me. Not my own. Oh, that my money has multiplied. No. For time's sake, we won't open to it. But you can read it after. They said, your mina.
has made 10 more. They recognize that it was not their own all through. The ability to be faithful in that which you don't even think is yours is a major key for fruitfulness.